Matthew, welcome and thank you for taking the time today. I'll let you sip your water. We need you hydrated for this interview, so thank you.
1000%. Appreciate that, Ben. Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Awesome. Awesome. So I was like, looking at all the different nicknames. So what should we call you? Mr. 100, Talented, Mr. Roto, or TMR? Do you like, you have a preference?
I think Matthew works, you know, like for me, you can just call me, my friends jokingly will call me TMR. But Matthew works fine. Either one works totally fine.
All right. I like it. So I was looking on your Instagram profile. You have written there, I'm just as surprised as you are at all of it. Explain to me what that means.
I make a living talking about fake football while wearing makeup on the internet. Right. And like, let's start there, right? The fact that that's a career is sort of crazy. And then the fact that by being good at that, by being sort of the guy that does that, I mean, I've had so many crazy experiences, and it's all going to sound sort of douchey and braggy to talk about it, but just to answer, I'm in Avengers Endgame. I'm an actor in Avengers Endgame, right? And so, I'm a cast member of the highest grossing movie of all time worldwide, and it's entirely because of fantasy football. Joe Russo, the director, is a big fantasy player. He's a fan of mine. We became friends through fantasy football. He said, you know, I want to put you in the movie just for, you know, S and G's. And so, and it was amazing, right? So whether it's, you know, having attended as many Super Bowls as I've had, you know, some of the leagues that I've been invited into, some of the people I know, some of the businesses I've gotten to be involved with, some of the experiences, I mean, listen, you and I talked about this, but like, I was, I don't know, 6 weeks ago, I was on a stage with Tom Brady. Like, that's nuts to me. That's nuts to me. It was literally me and Tom, just me and Tom. And I'm interviewing for like 15 minutes. And it's entirely because, you know, I got good at fantasy football. So that's what I mean by I'm just as surprised as you at all of it, because it's just been sort of an insane ride. And I could just sit here for the next hour name dropping and talking about just the crazy experiences that I've been lucky enough to have as a result of my goofy job.
Yeah, but I'm such a believer in, right, you create your own luck and you work your butt off. Like, you graduated from Syracuse and, you know, and you grinded, right? You were a PA and you worked on different shows. You worked through Hollywood, which isn't an easy, kind of an easy way through. So I wouldn't go fully in just lucky there. But as I was looking at the background, a few things stood out to me. And you're PA for the legendary George Carlin on his self-titled show, Crocodile Dundee, TV show Married with Children, and you know, you were a writer on those. And so how else, like, is there like you're a young kid, you're in the midst of some of the biggest, like, kind of at the biggest shows, the biggest people at the time. Like, what do you remember from that time? And like, was it just a head down grind?
I mean, it was all of it. I mean, and I appreciate you saying that. You know, I definitely worked hard. I've earned what I have gotten. But, you know, you work hard and you hope for the best, and you don't, you know, I think in my wildest dreams, some of the places and things that I've been able to do, I wouldn't have imagined. And it's been a charmed life. And it has been one that has been a very kind of windy, to your point, path. You know, like, I'll talk to college kids last week, how do I become you? How do I get your job? And I'm like, well, don't follow my path, because my path was really weird. And so, to answer your question, yeah, basically my first job out of college was I was George Carlin's assistant for a year. In essence, I was the stage production assistant for the George Carlin show. And, you know, my bosses were very clear, like, hey, you're there to help out all the actors on the stage, but it's the George Carlin show starring George Carlin. So you take care of George. And if you have any time left over, then you can handle the rest of the cast, but it's all about George. And so I enjoyed that. I loved working for that man. He was a truly special soul and one of the few people I've ever met in my life, Ben, that, and I've heard other people describe, there's a few other people that I've met like this. And I don't know if you've met anyone like this, but
when you talk to them, it's as if they're talking only to you. They focus entirely on you. Nothing else seems to matter. And they just, you know, they have this kind of this crazy charisma. And George was one of those guys, and he was the complete opposite of his onstage persona, which is, you know, sort of was angry and ranty. He was the sweetest
guy. He was just like, what's so funny? He's just so smart.
Brilliant. He was truly, truly brilliant. And he understood audiences, and he understood comedy in a way. And he had such a unique worldview. But he was also just in terms of like first guy on the set, last guy to leave, knew everyone's name from moment one, like just like the sweetest guy in the world, did a bunch of nice things for me, helped launch my comedy career, wrote a very generous letter to Warner Brothers, which had a writer's workshop at the time that I got into. And it was through that writer's workshop that I got my first job writing for sitcoms. And And then you go from working for George Carlin, and then and then one of my first jobs as a TV writer was writing for Married with Children. I worked on 28 episodes of the series, including personally writing 5 of them. And, that was kind of, it's this legendary show. And, being a part of the history of that show was very cool. I was towards the end. I can't take a lot of the credit for its massive success, but it was fun to be a part of it. Really enjoyed my time there. And then, I was able to transition, the Crocodile. I mean, I'm happy to delve into any of those. The Crocodile and Dundee story is funny. The George Carlin stuff is funny and interesting. How I got into fantasy sports, I think, is interesting. Like, you tell me where you want to go.
I mean, I feel like I could meet you for 3 hours. I actually want to take a step back, if you don't mind. And I'm always interested in kind of like those, whether it's not even little moments, but those things, the intangibles that created who you are today. And I thought obviously a lot about it in the world of Tom and some of these other athletes have been around, but I noticed that you traveled a lot growing up and, lived in a lot of different places. And I was curious if you think the exposure to different people, different cultures, ultimately like one helped influence your writing, but like more even like just your relatability, being on TV, talking to people, like do you see that as a connection?
Not in the way you did. No, I was going to say, I yes and no. The answer is did it inform who I become as a person and how I write and everything like that? It absolutely did, but not in the way you think it did. So the way you're saying is like it made me, sort of relatable and being able to embrace other cultures, if you will, and finding everything like that. No, actually, like it was awful as a child because I moved around. I was constantly the new kid in school. And so I was socially awkward to begin with. I wasn't super confident in myself as a kid. And so as a result, a couple of things happened. Number one is I had to develop, I think I'm a pretty funny guy. I don't know that I'm showing it right now, but I'm generally considered a pretty funny guy. And I think that skill set developed because it was the one form of social currency I could try to bring to ingratiate myself into new scenarios. And to also, if I was ostracized, if I was an outsider, it was a way to sort of, be self-deprecating and, get to myself before anyone else could get to me. The other thing it did is it, honestly, there was different parts of my childhood which were more solitary than probably a lot of kids because, again, I'd move to a new town. I wouldn't have friends. And it would take me a while to develop friends. So I grew comfortable being alone and alone with my thought and off to the side and observing. And as a result of that, I think that's where the writing comes in and where it's just like, I'm comfortable going into an office or a room or whatever, just myself and my thoughts and a keyboard and expressing myself because I've taken time to sort of observe, think about everything. So that's, I think, how it helps. The other thing that where sports, the other big piece of it that comes in, I think, Ben, is just my love of sports. What I have found is that, I mean, I have my teams, make no mistake. I have my teams that I desperately, truly root for. But what I have found is that if you can talk sports, you can talk with almost anyone. And so right? I mean, like, I'm not a Patriots fan. I'm not anti-Patriots, right? But I'm not a quote unquote Patriots fan. But if I, you know, if I meet you for the first time, Ben, you know, we want to talk, like, I can talk intelligently about the Patriots, and now, boom, you and I have something in common, right? I can talk intelligently about almost any professional sports team. And so, you know, wherever I sort of went, you know, as I was growing up, that was a way to also relate to, you know, people.
I always tell the story that when I went to go meet my father-in-law, or my now father-in-law, but with my girlfriend at the time, parents, they live in middle of nowhere, Michigan, and not really into sports. And that's always been my thing. I'm like, yeah, I just talk sports. And so he's like, I was like, can I see your guns and those dead animals on your wall? You know, trying to relate, but it is the great kind of, it, you know, bridges the gap there. But let's go to fantasy. I got to be honest, I've never played fantasy. I don't really even know much about fantasy. I know I'm in the extreme minority there, but take me back to your childhood and your first memories around fantasy sports.
Yeah, again, same thing. It all goes back to, again, just sort of moving around. So I was, at the time when I was 14 years old, I was living in College Station, Texas. It's weird because you think, oh, you moved around a lot. Is your dad in the military? No, believe it or not, my dad's a college professor, but he just kept getting better. He's a really good college professor, and he kept getting opportunities and jobs and kept getting promoted. And then he became the dean of a school, and then he realized he didn't like being a dean of a school. And so he wanted to get back to teaching. He didn't like all the bureaucracy that came with, you know, running a school. And so he got out of that. And so that's, it, you know, it was sort of his career. We kept moving a lot. But at the time he had left being a dean and had gone to, a professor at Texas A&M University, which he still is at today. He's still a professor and still teaching there. And, you know, big deal in their business school. And at any rate, so I'm 14 years old and I'm living in College Station, Texas, and I'm a pretty good tennis player. You know, I was ranked in the state of Texas. I was good enough to play like for a crappy D1 team. Like that's where I could have either played for a really good D2 or D3 school or a crappy D1 school, but I could have played at the next level if I wanted to. So when I'm 14 years old, I'm going to, I took private tennis lessons, and again, you know, nerdy kid, somewhat of a nerdy kid, voracious reader of books, voracious reader of sports books. And when I was 14, the original book called Rotisserie League Baseball, which was the first book about what is now known as fantasy baseball, but they called it Rotisserie League Baseball. And that book came out in the winter of 1983. And so spring of 1984, I'm walking up to one of my private tennis lessons and my coach is there with a guy who's like his best friend. And they're talking in this weird language. And I'm like, well, are you guys talking about Rotisserie League Baseball? And they're like, you've heard it? And I'm like, yeah, I just read the book. You guys have heard of it? And they're like, we just read the book and we're thinking about forming a league. Remember, this is 1984. And so it's not a thing. The internet doesn't exist. The people that wrote the book that created the very first fantasy baseball league, and they wrote a book about their experiences, were like, you know, and they kept stats by hand, and it's a whole thing. And you know, baseball is really numbers driven. And so they were like, yeah, we're trying to put together a league. And I'm like, I'll be in. And so like, it was a bunch of like, you know, 35 year old guys. And I'm like 14 years old, but they needed someone who understood the rules and was willing to play. So yeah. I ended up playing in that league. And that's how I got into fantasy sports. And it's interesting, you know, one of the great experiences I had, you know, as we talk about sort of like, I'm just as surprised as you at all of it. I've had so many incredible experiences. One of them was I got to sit at a fantasy baseball auction draft with Daniel Okrent, who is widely considered the founding father of fantasy baseball, the guy who wrote Rotisserie League Baseball, that original game. And so I met him through ESPN. We ended up, ESPN did like a 30 for 30 about fantasy baseball. And I ended up getting to do one year I did a league with him. And so I sat at a draft with Daniel Okrent and I was talking to him about my thing and my start. And randomly he remembered our league because at that time there were so few leagues. So I was in one of the first 50 fantasy baseball leagues in the entire country, you know, according to the guy that invented it. And so, you know, my love of fantasy sports started there.
And now you have one of the most like famous leagues that like every once in a while you hear about with some like pretty big A-listers and musicians and all that. It's must be a pretty cool experience.
Yeah, I mean it's been amazing. You know, there's actually a bunch of different leagues that I'm in with like, you know, big A-list super celebrity stars. So I'm not sure which one you're talking about specifically, but yeah, I mean like there's I'm in a league with a bunch of the guys from the Avengers with Joe Russo and a bunch of the actors in the Avengers. I personally run my own celebrity league it's a VIP league, I should say. And there's a bunch of both, you know, high powered executives and some celebrities in it. And then the other league you might be talking about, are you talking about the Guts League?
Jay-Z. You want Jay-Z, yeah. Jesse Hitzler, those guys.
Yeah. So there's, the funny story is maybe a decade ago, I get a call from a friend of mine, mutual friend of ours, like says, hey, this guy wants your phone number. And I'm like, hey, so gets my number and he calls me and says, hey, Matthew, this is Mike. And, you know, my league and I were all huge fans of yours. And we'd love to have you come to our draft. It's August 28th in New York City. You know, just come and hang out, you know, talk about all of our picks, you know, break it all down and, you know, just hang out. And I'm like, listen, Mike, I'm super flattered, but like August is my crazy busiest month. New York's like 2.5 hours from where I live. I just don't do that. I just don't go to random people's leagues. Yeah. Could I send a video or something like that? Could I, you know, just do something like that? And he goes, well, it's for Jay-Z's league. What time do you need me? Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like, you should have led with that. And so the Mike in question is Mike Kaiser, who's the president of Atlantic Records. And yes, that is the world famous Guts League. And so Jay-Z's in that league. Chris Paul is in that league. Jesse Itzler is in that league. Steve Stout, Juan Perez, who runs Rock Nation Sports, he's in there. Kevin Lyles in it. Irv Gotti. Like it's legend after legend after legend that's in that league. And Rich Kleiman, who's Kevin Durant's business partner, of course, is in that league. And in fact, the first time I met Tom actually was through that league because the pandemic year, we did a Zoom call. We normally do the draft in person, but that particular year, because of the pandemic year, we did the draft over Zoom. And a bunch of the guys in the league know Tom. And Tom, that was his first year in Tampa Bay. And so Tom dialed into the Zoom as kind of a surprise for the guys. And we talked to him for a little bit during the draft.
Well, hopefully that year you guys took Tom. It was a
well, it's so funny because that was his first question. He's like, all right, who's got me? You know what I mean? Right. And you know, I forget who had drafted Tom at that point, but somebody pointed out and he goes, he's like, we're going to have a good year. He's like, you know, Bruce likes to throw it, you know, and we were having fun and he was just like, who's got Mike Evans? And somebody else is like, you know, so anyway, we were talking about that. We had a lot of fun. And, he was great. It was a real fun surprise for Jay and all the guys.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned some big names and you also mentioned earlier, we were talking about the quote on your Instagram, you know, page there. And so is there like, I guess, was there like a moment or like where like you're like, I made it? Like, is there one thing that stands out and was like, wow, I've made it?
There's a bunch of them that have sort of like, I mean, there's honestly a zillion of them, right? I mean, like, it's hard to, I don't know that there's one. The first, I mean, like, just getting the job at ESPN, the first time I was like on, you know, Sunday NFL Countdown, you know, and like, here's Chris Berman, this, you know, this legendary figure, a guy that I grew up watching. You know, and all of a sudden Boomer's like, and with who to start and sit this Sunday, here's Matthew Berry. And you're just like, you know, like, just like, you know, I got goosebumps like the first time that happened. Like, so there's just a bunch of different various moments. I remember, I think like in 2000, I got to ESPN in 2007. And I think in 2009, we decided to do we did a draft party at a barbecue joint in New York City. And so I'm being driven up from Connecticut and this restaurant, this bar restaurant, and we're pulling up and I see this line like it's, and like we're having to pull around because the car services, we're having to pull around because it's, everything's like blocked off in this like crazy line around the block. And I'm like, is Springsteen in town or something? Like what the, you know, who's, and I'm literally like, oh my God, who's here? This is crazy. And they're like, that's for you, dude. Right, that's right. That's the venue that you're speaking at. That's the ESPN draft party. And I'm like, oh, you know what I mean? It was yeah. like one of those where like, I remember that moment really specifically where I was just like, oh, like that was a big, that was a, I think I've kind of made it moment. Like, cause there was no, yeah. you know, you, especially when you do what I do, which is like, so much of it is like, you're in a studio, you're in front of your computer, like you're not really interacting. And so that was the first moment was just like, oh crap. People know who I am and people are, yeah. you know, engaging with my content and people are excited to come. I mean, they came out and see me. I mean, like the, there's a, you know, like I wrote a book in 2015 called Fantasy Life. And I was told when we went out to pitch the book, you know, some of the people that we pitched it to said, listen, we know you're popular, but the truth of the matter is the only reason you're popular is because you're on ESPN giving fantasy advice for free. And so we don't think a book written by you that has no fantasy life, it was basically a story of my life with some funny fantasy stories interwoven called Fantasy Life. And they said, we don't think a book written by you that people are gonna have to pay $30 for a hardcover that has no actual fantasy advice on it and isn't, you know, isn't through ESPN, that anyone's gonna buy it. So they just passed. Now there were a couple of people that we ended up, there were some people that did believe, including Riverhead Books, which is an imprint of Penguin. And so, you know, I did that entirely myself without ESPN. Again, it's a, you know, $30 hardcover book, and the book debuted at number 5 on the New York Times bestseller list, spent many money months on the list, 5 stars, you know, a couple of thousand reviews on Amazon, average five stars. Like it's, you know, like that was a moment where I was just like, oh, cool. You know, that was a big accomplishment for me. Or it's just like, you know, fuck you guys. Right. You know, like,
yes.
To the people that said no, that no one would buy my book or was interested in, no one cared about me was their point yeah. of view. And I'm like, I actually think people do care about me. And so, to be validated in that way was a, you know, was a big thing. So whatever, you know, there's a million things, right. You know, whatever the Avengers movie, just, there's a ton of stuff. You know, and yeah. I was just moments. You know, I mean, listen, this is going to sound ass kissy, but it's real, which is, you know, even like just the thing that I did with Autograph this past year. Yeah. You know, my agents called me and said, hey, do you want to do this? And they told me about it. And I said, yes. And they said, we haven't told you what they're offering yet. And I said, listen, guys. Look, you know, listen, get the best deal you can. Let's try to get the best deal you can. But honestly, like Tom Brady wants me to be his fantasy guy. I'm going to be Tom Brady's fantasy guy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, let's just stop right there. Right. You know what I mean? Like, period.
Yeah, for sure. So you've been a great, you know, we've talked in the past about playing field in my newsletter and building communities and all that. So love to hear what you have going on now and kind of with, you know, with Fantasy Life and your community and what you're building.
Yeah. I mean, like I've always been a big believer that fantasy sports is really about community, that prior to Facebook or MySpace or TikTok or Instagram or anything, Snapchat, it was the first online social community. People talking trash to each other on message boards, playing fantasy football. It's the new golf game, the new poker game. It's ways that, you know, people stay together post-college, family, especially in a world today where everyone's so spread out. And so that's always been a big hallmark of sort of what I do in terms of my content is about, you know, the ways that fantasy sports and specifically fantasy football bring people together. And so I thought there was an extension of that. And so, you know, we talked about my book, Fantasy Life, which, you know, did very well for me and spent many months on the bestseller list. And I thought there was a way to build a business off of that brand. Mm-hmm. And so I won't take you through the, you know, sort of how we got to where we are, but where we are right now is what I've done is that I started out with just a newsletter, which is what you're doing with Playing Field, right? Just a newsletter with fantasy advice that has my name on it. And while I contribute some to it, it's mostly other people that I have sort of, you know, designated as like, this is somebody who really knows what they're talking about. These are people that I like. And what we've done is we've built up a newsletter that has, it's been entirely bootstrapped over the last year. I put in like 100K of my own money, and that's about it. And we just bootstrapped it. And we're now at over 300,000 subscribers with a 55% open rate and 9% click-through rate. The company did 7 figures in revenue last year on like a on a 750K burn. So it's already profitable. It's already generating revenue. It's already profitable. And what happened is that we went on March 1st, 2022, I hired my CEO to help me run this. And on April 1st, 2023, 13 months later, we hired employee number 12. So we've just been growing. And what we've been doing is, in addition to tremendous success with the newsletter, we built out fantasylife.com, which is a content and tools site, all for free. We do a 5-day-a-week show for SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio. We do a 4-day-a-week show for Amazon. We do a game for Facebook that 500,000 people are playing, Fantasy Life Pick and Play. And so we have a very active Discord. We have an active YouTube channel. We have about between all of our, from in between my feed and everyone else's that works for the company and the corporate handle, we have close to 3 million followers on social across our various platforms. So, you know, really building something which has been really fun and exciting and kind of take the mold that you've seen various other entrepreneurs do, whether it's you're seeing, you know, Peyton Manning doing it with Omaha or what Dan Le Batard's trying to do with Meadowlark Media, you know, what Portnoy has done with Barstool, what Clay Travis has done with Outkick, what Pat McAfee has been doing. So regardless of what you think of any of those particular people's content, you know, there's, you know, the fact is that all of them, in my mind, are very successful business people. And what they did is they took their level of fame / celebrity, whatever you want to call it, and started building content, not just around them, using their own content as kind of a centerpiece, but building up other content creators around them, underneath them, using their halo effect to build them up and create content. So we're following that model a little bit. But, you know, specifically in fantasy sports and sports betting, where obviously I have a tremendous amount of brand equity specific to those two genres. Morning Brew, if you're familiar with Morning Brew, is also kind of a good North Star for us. You know, what Austin Reef, who's on my advisory board, what Austin has accomplished with Morning Brew, or The Skim. You know, what Danielle and Carly have accomplished with The Skim. They have over 7 million subscribers to that. They're also on my advisory board. So that's kind of what we're going for with, you know, that's what we're going for with Fantasy Life.
Yeah, before I, just a couple rapid fire questions here before you go. So boil it down, like really, not deep, but like, what is it about fantasy? Like, what do you love about it? What, like, is it the gambling side of it? Like, is there something that just like you just absolutely love about it?
What I love about fantasy is, again, I love the way that it brings people together, that it bridges the gap, right? That it doesn't matter if you're, I mean, you know, just because we've mentioned like Jay-Z, for example, right? You know, Jay-Z and I could not be more different. He's one of the 5 most famous people on the planet. He's a multi, you know, billionaire. Like I think he's worth $2 billion and change. Like he's, you know, him and I are just completely different. But when it comes to fantasy football, he's just Jay-Z and myself and like a grandmother and a 10-year-old kid. We're all the same. We're still sweating our flex decision. We're still hoping, you know, we're hoping that a guy doesn't get vultured at the 1-yard line. We're hoping that, you know, the touchdown pass goes to our guy and not the guy we're playing. You know, I mean, so it's a great equalizer and it brings people I think, together in just a massive way again. And I think my career is a real testament again, like, you know, so, in terms of just experiences I've had, right. So like, again, right. Yeah. I mean, it's why Joe Russo and I are friends and why, you know, I'm in that movie is, so yeah. I think that's what fantasy means to me. I think it like my book is filled with examples of that, about where fantasy has literally saved lives. It is literally like it has changed careers. It has made people. But it is, for me, ultimately what it means, Ben, to come down to your question is that it is a social fabric, and yeah. something that is you know, it's a game. It's a really fun game that gives you a rooting interest in stuff that you might not normally care about.
I mean, it's also what fantasy life is doing. It's kind of giving a place for the community to come and be together. So it's obviously doing a good job harnessing all that.
Yeah. And so, you know what? A thousand percent. And so, I mean, like, if you see our Discord or see some of the stuff, or, you know, I love all the stuff around fantasy football, like the fantasy punishments, which was one of the things that sort of, I start my book off, that book off with that. And that was sort of the first time that fantasy punishments had been talked about on a national level. And now it's become a whole thing as people try to top one another. We've been, I will say, just because this is a select audience, that we're in the, we are cash flow positive and we're profitable, Ben, but we are raising a friends and family round for just from strategics. And so, you know, Casey Wasserman, Maverick Carter, Chad Hurley, the co-founder of YouTube, George Pine, Tony Khan from the Jaguars, among our investors. So we have some really great people behind us as well. But, you know, if there's anyone in your audience that would like to learn more, would, you know, any friend of yours, Ben, is a friend of mine. So send them my way.
Yeah, awesome. We'll make sure people reach out and connect the dots if there's somebody interested. So last question, I'll let you go. Is there like one fantasy play in your years of being around fantasy, one moment that sticks out to you?
There's a zillion, but the first one that popped into my mind was Kareem Hunt's rookie year. Two that jumped into my mind actually immediately, which is Kareem Hunt's rookie year. He was my fantasy ride or die, and which I call that. And people were like, but you know, when I called it out, he's like, Spencer Ware is there. He's going to be splitting carries, and I don't know. He's a third round pick, and Andy Reid doesn't really run the ball and whatever. I'm just telling you, I think this guy is different. I think he's special. I think he's a great fit for how Andy runs his offense. And I was all over this guy, and there was people that were really questioning it. And the very first game, it was a Thursday night game against the Patriots, actually. It was the open up the season, and Kareem Hunt had, I don't know, 120 something yards and three touchdowns, just had this monster game right out the back on a national game that everyone saw. And just, you know, just my, you know, my social blew up, being like, Barry, you know, oh, I should have listened to you, and, you know, thank you, Barry, and everything like that. And so, you know,
that's
so
great. That's awesome.
That's the first one that pops into my mind.
Well, that's awesome. Well, Matthew, I really appreciate your time today. And I also appreciate all the advice and your thoughts around playing field and how you support that. So, and looking forward to following along and seeing what's to come. So thank you very much.
Ben, it's my pleasure. And, you know, as you know, if I can ever be of help, please let me know.